More and more Americans are shopping at dollar stores for basic needs. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stentz. We're talking about the explosive rise of stores like Dollar General and Dollar Tree. Analysts at CoreSite Research say dollar stores are expected to open more than 1,600 locations this year, representing nearly half of all national retail openings, half of all new retail stores. What brings you to the dollar store? We're at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Abba Badarai is a national retail reporter for the Washington Post, and she joins us this morning. Welcome, Abba.
Thank you.
Well, you've looked at why the business of dollar stores is booming. Why is this happening now?
Well, we're in month 18 of the pandemic, which has been a very financially tough time for many people, and prices are beginning to rise across the board. You know, you might have noticed at the local supermarket that just things like meat and paper towels are costing more than they did a year ago. And so many people are saying that they simply can't afford to shop at the supermarket anymore. They're going to the dollar store instead, where they can kind of stretch their money a bit more.
So what does it say about our economy these days that these stores are doing so well?
You know, it speaks to the growing inequality we're seeing across the economy. And as one analyst I talked to put it, there's now dollar store land and there's Whole Foods land. We've seen a sort of a hollowing out of the middle class, which means people are flocking to one end or the other. You know, either they're splurging on groceries because they have a little bit of extra income, they're saving on things like travel, or they're really having to hunker down and stretch every dollar as best they can.
Right. So you mentioned this Whole Foods America versus dollar store America. Where are we seeing dollar stores expand?
You know, honestly, everywhere. Traditionally, they've been in rural areas or more impoverished neighborhoods where they're often the only grocery store or the only big box store in town. Now we're starting to see them proliferate just about anywhere. There's going to be 1,600, like you said, new dollar store openings this year. And what's staggering is just the sheer number of dollar stores we already have in this country. There are more than 34,000 of them, which is more than every single Walmart, Starbucks, and McDonald's combined.
And so I have to ask, how are dollar stores able to sell products for just a dollar?
Well, that's a great question. You know, Dollar General in particular, which is the largest chain, has huge buying power. It is a very large chain, and it's able to just buy up huge quantities and keep prices low that way. The other side of that is that dollar stores don't typically have a lot of fresh produce or meat or things like that that have very low profit margins, you know, that tend to be perishable and tend to really cut into a company's profits. And so they sell things that are with huge margins, honestly. I mean, things like canned foods and plastic products, paper products, those are generally more profitable than fresh produce. And so that's how they're able to sort of pad their profits and also keep prices low.
So they can buy in bulk and leverage this huge economy of scale, and they can buy products that aren't perishable, so they can keep them around and keep them on shelves, and also make a little bit more money than things that might, you know, you might have to move through more quickly, as you mentioned.
Exactly. And they also have smaller stores generally than like a sprawling grocery store that you might see. So they have lower rents. They're in lower price parts of town where, you know, rents are more affordable. And they're also known for keeping their stores very thinly staffed. So there might just be one or two employees at a time versus maybe dozens at a grocery store. So they're able to save on costs there too.
Mm-hmm. So Dollar Tree announced last week, I saw, that it's planning to cut its full year profit forecast due to rising freight costs. What kind of supply chain issues have they been experiencing?
Dollar stores have been facing the same supply chain crunches as everybody else. There's shipping delays, there's manufacturing delays, factories are short-staffed. Even once things make it over the ocean, the ports in the United States are completely clogged, and so there's huge delays and shortages. But Dollar Tree is in a unique position. It's one of the only large chain that continues to sell everything for a dollar. So as their prices go up, you know, their profits go down because the price is set. And, you know, they can make up for that in some ways by shrinking package sizes and things like that. But those generally take a longer time to normalize. And so they're really feeling the brunt of it right now.
Right. Because as you mentioned, we're talking about dollar stores, but that doesn't actually mean everything's a dollar in some of these dollar stores.
Exactly. At most dollar stores, you can end up spending $10 or $20 on a product. And so they are discount stores, but not necessarily everything for a dollar.
And so what impact are they having on the grocery landscape? What do we know about this?
So critics generally say that dollar stores help put local grocers out of business. Like I said, they have all of these different ways to keep prices low, and local grocery stores just cannot compete in many cases. They also tend to sell things in smaller quantities. So even though the unit price might be a bit higher at a dollar store than it is at, say, Walmart, when you only have $5, you're going to buy the smaller package, even if it ends up being a little bit more expensive. So a number of things, but, you know, we're starting to see cities crack down on this proliferation of dollar stores. They're starting to say, you know, we don't want a dollar store on every corner. And certain cities are saying you can't open a new one within a mile or two of an existing dollar store, for example, or they're requiring that they have a pharmacy or sell fresh groceries as a way to sort of get more fresh food options into the community.
Right, because you quote somebody in your article that says dollar stores are the number one driver of food deserts.
Exactly. So the idea there is that these dollar stores are putting out grocery stores and other local businesses out of business, but they're just not filling that gap. They're not providing enough fresh fruit and vegetables. So you end up just having to rely on frozen foods or canned foods, shelf-stable foods, and when that's sort of everything you're eating that week, it becomes a problem.
So do we see that happening in communities where they're actually, I mean, folks need fresh food, vegetables, and dairy milk, the perishable things that you mentioned that, you know, have a lower margin on them and are pretty perishable. Are they really able to put grocery stores out of business that are able to offer more things than dollar stores do?
Absolutely. We've seen this dynamic happen over and over. You know, a dollar store moves into town, it undercuts the grocery store on certain items. And when you're strapped for cash, that's where you end up going. We are starting to see that change in some parts of the country. Oklahoma City, for example, has been very good about placing limits on what dollar stores can come in and really trying to offer incentives on for dollar stores to expand into fresh food and grocery. But it's still been very difficult.
We're speaking with Abba Badarai. She is a national retail reporter for The Washington Post. So, Abba, you've discovered that Amazon is planning to open brick-and-mortar retail stores. They're expected to be these large 30,000-square-foot stores. What impact is that going to have on the landscape of dollar stores?
You know, that's a great question, and it kind of speaks to this broader theme that we're seeing throughout the economy and in retail as well, where the biggest, most powerful companies, the wealthiest companies, are getting wealthier, and the smaller ones are just kind of falling by the wayside. They're really struggling. And Amazon, Walmart, Target, Dollar General, all of these companies have thrived during the pandemic, and that makes it that much harder for their other counterparts to compete.
And so you mentioned that the communities are starting to regulate or trying to restrict them. How does that work? Is that through zoning? What options are cities using?
There are a number of different ways, but what we typically see is that they pass local legislation or they have a, you know, temporary moratorium on the opening of new stores within a mile or two, say, within a certain area of an existing store, or they have different requirements for a new store that comes in. And so, you know, if the store doesn't have a pharmacy or isn't selling at least, say, 500 square feet worth of fresh food, then they're just not allowed to open.
We're speaking with Abba Badarai. She is a retail reporter for The Washington Post this morning. You can join us here at The Ideas Network, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us, ideas@WPR.org. You're listening to The Morning Show. I'm Molly Stentz. We're talking about the explosive growth of dollar stores across America. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stentz. The market and consumer data website Statista says that we have more than 34,000 dollar stores across the country. For some perspective, that number is more than every Walmart, Starbucks, and McDonald's combined. I read that in the Washington Post. How do you feel about the growth of dollar stores? We're at 1-800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org. And we're speaking to Washington Post reporter Abba Badarai this morning. So I'm wondering, where did the stores come from? What's the origin story of some of these dollar stores and how they were able to achieve such market dominance so quickly?
You know, that's a great question. I think people have always been drawn to discounts, and that's particularly the case during recessions and other periods of economic turmoil. So we've really seen a speed up of these stores in the last, you know, during the last recession and now during the pandemic, when so many people are strapped for cash and just having to trade down in many cases from their local supermarket to the dollar store.
Yeah. And so is there any one store that is kind of doing the best right now?
Dollar General is sort of the king of this space. They're the largest, so they have the most buying power, they have the most locations, and they also have been just very successful during the pandemic. Foot traffic is up 32% at Dollar General stores, which is compared to 3% at Walmart from pre-pandemic figures. And so there's been a huge surge at Dollar General in particular.
And so how's Walmart responding? I mean, because the economic situation you're describing reminds me of the effect we saw Walmart having on small retailers, neighborhood grocers, bringing several stores into the market, perhaps crowding out local retailers. What do they feel threatened by dollar stores?
That's a great question. You know, we're seeing retailers of all kinds, including Walmart, experiment with new formats, with smaller stores, not just the sprawling supercenters, but, you know, smaller stores that they can sort of put up in different communities. And so this is an ongoing puzzle that retailers are trying to solve. What kind of store do they put in a rural community that might be dominated by dollar stores in a way that allows them to be viable, but still serve the community's needs in a way that the Dollar General perhaps isn't?
And I wonder, too, about, I mean, the other thing we've seen, you know, this explosive growth of Amazon, so many people ordering online over the past year, that doesn't strike me as something dollar stores offer. I mean, I guess I've never seen that. How do you think they're going to fare against online retailers?
You know, they do have websites, but for the most part, their bread and butter is people stopping in. You know, they are there are a lot of dollar stores in many communities, and so they're the closest place you can go if you need something at the end of the day. And that's traditionally how they've been used. I mean, that's how a lot of analysts see dollar stores, is that they're just a place where you would stop in midweek if you needed to pick up a carton of milk or maybe ran out of, you know, kitchen sponges or something like that. They weren't meant to be the site of your weekly grocery shopping. And so, sorry, I totally lost my train of thought.
Yeah.
But that's the dynamic that we're seeing.
Yeah, I know I've taken advantage of them when, you know, they tend to have later hours and you're just like, I really need something. I just got to run over and grab something. I'm wondering, though, you mentioned that they have kind of a reputation of thinly staffing their stores. And I mean, I can testify to that oftentimes you go to the store and it can be a little chaotic. You know, you got just boxes everywhere, things kind of strewn about. Is that a strategy that they employ? Is that intentional, or is that maybe just vary from location to location?
You know, I don't think it's intentional, but I think it just it's just the cost of doing business, so to speak. You know, their priority is keeping prices low, and that's why people go there. And so I think if you're shopping at the dollar store, you're willing to overlook things like messy aisles and maybe, you know, short-staffed stores. You're there for the low prices, and that's what they deliver on.
Yeah. And I've seen reporting that safety concerns have also been an issue because of some of the locations, some of the hours, some of the thin staffing that you've mentioned, where there can be violence in the parking lot, and there's not necessarily the staff there to handle it. Is that something that you've seen in your reporting?
Yes, that's been a growing problem for the dollar store industry across the board. You know, like I said, these stores are very thinly staffed. They don't have big investments in security and surveillance cameras, things like that. And so they become easy targets for crime. And that's something that's gotten worse during the pandemic in many parts of the country as people sort of face more dire situations.
We're talking about the rise of dollar stores this morning. You can join the conversation here, 1-800-642-1234. We're talking with Abba Badarai. She's the national retail reporter for The Washington Post. And let's go to the phones now. We have Tony joining us from Egg Harbor this morning. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning. Thank you for taking the call. I live in Door County, and Sister Bay has already voted down proposal for one, and then Egg Harbor just recently voted down the same proposal. I think the crux of it is that the dollar store is a cheap form of instant gratification that you could walk in there, probably leave with something you didn't intend on buying. It doesn't take a lot of effort, and I think it's really a greater communication to really what's going on in the country, that there's this big separation between the rich and the poor, and I think it's an opportunity for the poorer to get instant gratification without a lot of investment, and I think it speaks to really the economic division of wealth in this country.
So, Tony, was it controversial when your town was going through that decision? Were there people that were like, hey, I need this?
There were more dollar signs with red circles through them along the road than there were, we need a dollar store. So, and I think Door County is a perfect example of a community that thrives on tourism. And I just don't think they liked diminishing the brand by having a bargain basement store. And I'm not proud of it. I guess I'm a little embarrassed about it, but I understand it. So I think there's the right place for everything. But I think the broader topic is the division of wealth in this country.
Gotcha. Thank you. Thank you, Tony. Abba, what do you think about that? What do you think about it? Tony raises these really interesting issues about the kind of stereotypes at play in communities.
Absolutely. And I think he's completely on point with his broader point that this speaks to economic inequality in this country, which we know is worsening in just about every way. And this is a symptom of that. And in some ways, it's also a driver of that. You know, as more dollar stores move in and choke out other businesses in a community, that ends up being the only option. And so it's just this cycle that these stores sometimes end up perpetuating.
We got another call from Brian in Eau Claire, who said he's also against dollar stores. He's affiliated with a small town grocer and feels like dollar stores don't really add to the local town economy. And we've got another call coming in. We've got Nancy in Grafton that wants to join the conversation. Good morning, Nancy.
Well, good morning. The sun is shining over here.
Oh, good. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, there's a difference between Dollar General, Dollar Tree, and I'll tell you, Dollar Tree, everything is a dollar. They don't have anything that's more than a dollar. And but the thing is, you know, if you're working there, you start out at minimum wage, like $7, and was it 25 or 35 cents an hour? You unload trucks, you stock shelves, you clean the floors, you run the cash registers, you do all those things for that minimum wage, and that's because it's a Dollar Tree. Now, I don't know about the Dollar Generals because we have two, actually. We have two Dollar Tree stores in our community here. So,
such a good point, Nancy. You're hustling when you work there. You're working hard for little pay, and that's in service of getting people these low prices. Abba, what effect do these stores have on wages and the job
great
market?
Question. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, typically they do pay minimum wage, like Nancy said, which is lower than many of their competitors. Amazon, Best Buy, Target, Walmart have all moved to higher wages of $11 an hour or $15 an hour. And so these are significantly lower wages that many dollar stores are paying. And that sort of it ends up creating the cycle of rapid turnover. Many of the dollar store's employees I've spoken to, you know, are unhappy. They say they're very short-staffed, they're overworked. It is a paycheck, but they're not looking to stay there short-term. So that sort of adds to the overall instability of the stores, I think.
Yeah. We had another comment come in about the economy surviving off of folks on really, really low income and fixed income communities. Is that a key factor that they use in citing their locations, the average wages of the population in the area?
You know, that's not something they publicly cite, but I think it's absolutely a part of their calculation. And we see that, you know, people on a fixed income are struggling more than ever. If prices have gone up 5% in the last year, and that's even more pronounced for certain items that are essential, you know, food, gasoline, things like that are getting more expensive, which means people on a fixed income are struggling in particular.
Well, Abba Batarai, national retail reporter with The Washington Post, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much.
Just ahead, the author of a new book shares the true story of a Wisconsin woman who tried to resist the Nazi regime and was executed for it. We learn about her influence on society and how Wisconsin shaped her. I'm Molly Stentz. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.